Some women get burned by the fire and some women rise from it. Welcome to the Born to Rise Society podcast with Laura Sanzo, where goddesses come to rise and go from survivor mode to creation mode. Are you ready, goddess?
Hello, welcome to another episode of the Born to Rise Society podcast with Laura Sanzo. I am your host, Laura Sanzo. I'm so excited to be here with my soul sister, Candace Roberts. Welcome, Candace.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
So Candace is a social media coach helping small businesses and entrepreneurs sell out on IG and helping brands and entrepreneurs build their authentic brand voice and implement it into their social strategy to develop an emotional connection with their ideal clients and ultimately skyrocket their sales. And who doesn't want that, right?
Exactly. That sounded like a little bit of a long spiel, but yeah, exactly. Who doesn't want that?
So I wanted to quote something that you had said. And the day came where working for an employer who never missed an opportunity to tell me I wouldn't be able to get a better job or wouldn't be able to start my own biz didn't seem so traditional. So that's pretty powerful because I think a lot of people throughout their lives mm-hmm. have been in a place where they felt that from an employer or just felt like they weren't on purpose. So can you just give us a little background in terms of your journey from where you, you know, came from that place, which mm-hmm. in many forms was a form of adversity, to where you are now as this powerful young millennial entrepreneur?
So I guess I would say about 5 years ago when I was in college still and I was looking for a co-op opportunity, this role at a marketing agency landed in my lap and it was a really great opportunity. They ended up taking me on full time after I finished school and I graduated. Kind of, I was in this position where everyone would constantly tell me like, you're so lucky to be in this role. You know, this is a dream job. Not everyone can get this opportunity right out of college. You should be grateful. And, you know, I had that desired salary and I had that perfect job. Fast forward to 2.5 years ago, I'd say, where, you know, the paychecks just started to become later. And then, you know, again, my employer never missed really that opportunity to tell me that I wouldn't ever be able to get a better role. I wouldn't ever be able to start a successful business. And it was that persuasion, that manipulation of not being paid and then him realizing I was at a weak position from a financial perspective and he wanted to keep my mindset weak. So that just continued on to the point where it was, you know, got to the paychecks just stopped coming altogether. And I needed to make that decision to leave. And, you know, I'd rather be at home doing nothing than work for someone for free. So it took a lot to make that decision, but I knew that I was in a position where I didn't want to leave my financial future in someone else's hands that was so willing and easy to tear other women down in the industry. And I honestly thought it was the norm. You know, I just thought I should have stayed in that position and this is what they do. So I left that role with like a very weak mindset. But with the systems and the strategies, because I had worked my way up to a social media strategist, and so I had kind of the foundational aspects of starting my own business, but I did not have the mindset. The blocks were there. I was weak. I had a victim mentality, no confidence, right? So that was the part of my journey where I decided that that was my story, but I was ready to kind of create a new story for myself.
I love that. Okay, so a couple of things. First of all, can you just let us know exactly what a social media strategist does and why everyone needs to have one?
So basically, I would work with brands who had a full communication strategy, right? They had the in-person events, they had the media buys, they had the digital ads, and then they also had social media, but their social media was operating in a silo. It was kind of on an island. They weren't communicating the rest of their communication strategies through social media. So I would kind of come in there with my team. And I would work with these brands to help them understand how social media could complement the rest of their communication strategy and how when it's used correctly to communicate everything that they're doing, that it can really take their business to the next level. Sometimes it was a process, right? Because people would block out, like, you know, if you have that traditional marketing mindset of we don't really need social media. It's kind of it's a little playing field where we work with big billboard ads or we do taxi ads and that's where it's at, commercials, right? No, the power of social media, when you use it correctly and you use it to complement everything else you're doing, it can take you to that next level. So I would come in, help them understand that, and then we would build the social media strategy alongside the rest of their communication plan and execute. So I had a team that would help me execute it.
So for somebody at like a smaller level that is not part of a corporation and building their own brand, how can mm-hmm. a social media strategist or coach mentor them through that process?
So yeah, and again, this is where I will work with really, it depends on anyone. If it's a small business, it's an entrepreneur or a business coach or really anyone who has that desire, they're in a position where maybe they don't even have a social media presence. They know they need to be on social media, but they don't know where to start. They don't know what to do, how to reach their ideal clients. So I'll help them to build that custom engagement strategy and that approach based on their niche, based on their passion, based on their ideal clients. Well, we can either create it from scratch, or sometimes I come in and my clients are, you know, they have their business, they're on social media, they're engaging, but they're like, why aren't I getting clients? Like, I'm pushing my programs, I'm trying to like get everyone cold calling everyone in the DMs and it's not working. So I'll either work with you, you know, if you're new and fresh, you don't know it, or you already have a business and you need that audit and you need that social media engagement strategy to take you from where you are and take you to that next level. So that's really the coaching side of the business. But I also still have my social media management arm where I'll work with different, you know, it can be, I do have some bigger like brands that are in the alcohol space, or I have some smaller like mom and pop shops who I will work with them and help create take their communication strategy. You know, obviously COVID's changed a lot of things. We don't have all of that usual traditional, quote unquote, traditional marketing, but we'll make sure that their social media strategy is playing into that bigger communication strategy. And then I will work with them and my team to create kind of all the content that aligns and do everything from content creation, digital strategy alignment to, you know, influencer partnerships, hashtags, to scheduling, media buys, and insights and reporting. So that's like the full service agency arm.
So for anybody that just doubted the impact and the capacity of social media, it's huge.
It is.
And obviously, like, you know, you have mentioned it and it's true. So like in the 21st century, if you have any type of business or any type of brand, like you need to be on social media. There's just no way around it. You're right. So we had this conversation before. Being on social media is necessity. It's also very energetically draining. Mm-hmm. So what would be your advice for people but just how to balance showing up and preserving your energy?
Yeah, this is a big thing. And this is where kind of my background and what I went through, that story that used to be my story with my employer, and that experience, it really taught me, and it was why I wanted to tap into my feminine energy more and just like understand it and how I can create that balance with the masculine of, you know, like you've said, we're going to work on our mindset and we're going to get to a place where we identify our blocks and we break through them. But there are going to be times where things arise, especially in a digital world, in a social media world, where imposter syndrome is going to creep in, the confident blocks, the comparison game, where you're seeing someone in the same field as you doing something that, you know, oh, maybe I should be doing that. What? Why are they doing it like that? Why are they getting those results and I'm not, right? That can still come into play. So I think there's like very important boundaries that you need to put into place and that I really suggest. So for me, like there's a couple that are really important to me. So like one is the unfollowing accounts that don't serve you. And I think that's a mindset that we need to switch out of, because I think people need to get more comfortable with this, because if account triggers you and if account is affecting your mindset, then it's okay to unfollow them, because you're not their ideal client anyways, right? You're not their ideal follower. So they're okay with letting you go because there's like a mutual understanding there, right? That that's not going to serve you. And then again, like self-care is really important. As we spend like all our days on screens, that screen time is at an all-time high, you know, decompressing and having like identifying that if you are getting into a spot where your mindset is getting into a low place. And, you know, as we start to work on our mindset, we will know when our vibes are higher versus lower. And if we are feeling where we're seeing again, that comparison game is starting to trickle in, having an action plan of when you're in that position of, you know, this is what I'm going to do when I'm feeling like that. I'm going to remind myself of the bigger picture. I'm going to review, like I'm going to go back through my goals, my why, the passion, who I'm serving and why I'm doing this. And also the self-care and the love. Like I talk about non-negotiables a lot with my clients, because like for me personally, my non-negotiable is when I'm like that, I need to medicate, tap in with my higher level self, pull an oracle card and journal and just reset my mind. Because, you know, again, as you mentioned, it can be a place where it's consuming, but when used correctly and when you have the triggers in place to, you know, take yourself back to that high vibe, that's okay that we experience that.
I love that because I've heard people say, well, I'm just going to come off social media. And honestly, I don't think that is the answer, right?
No.
Because there's a lot of amazing things you could do on social media, including meeting incredible people. So it's just exactly yes. what you said, just really maintaining your space. And I have to tell you that I'm really good at unfollowing and triggers, I call them, right?
Good.
This is exactly what you said. Like you're just, if energetically you're not in the same space, then you won't be working together. That's just reality on both
sides. Yeah, it is what it is. And I know it's something that's uncomfortable for people, but I think we need to get more comfortable with being uncomfortable because I think, again, like if you're coming from a place of being uncomfortable, I think that's where the magic happens. And I think if we know and identifying is the first step, right? Identifying, okay, I'm comparing myself. I'm coming from a place of lack again. Is this person triggering me? Yes. Okay. Unfollow them. That's okay. Right. Because they're not going to want you to follow them if they're triggering you.
And you had just brought up being uncomfortable. So I want to just for you to expand on this. You say not waiting till you're comfortable to show up, but showing up until you're comfortable.
Yeah, this is a big thing with my clients because I think this is one of the biggest blocks that I experienced this. I'll do that next week. I'll show up on social media. I'll show my face next week, right? Like they don't need it. Nobody needs to see my face, right? Like they can connect with me other ways. And I've had some really interesting conversations with a lot of people in my community actually about this. Since I posted that post about talking about, you know, if we wait until we feel like we're in the perfect place to start doing the video, Instagram stories, or, you know, showing up on lives, then we're never going to show up because there will always be an excuse, right? But I started talking to some people in the community who were saying that, you know, they felt as though you can still build the relationship with people through tone of voice and through storytelling and like building the relationships in the DMs. And I completely can understand that logic. And it's okay to have different stances on this, but I feel as though when you are in a place of being uncomfortable, and if something like that, like for me, the videos and doing the stories when I first did them, like you should see the amount of outtakes that I had on that for like talking about like a post that I could read in my sleep, right? It's just when we're in that place of being uncomfortable, I literally was like, okay, follow your own advice that you would tell your client and just take it. If you mess up, keep going because it shows people that it's okay to not be perfect all the time. It creates that relatability. It says, oh, okay, like, you know, look at her with what she's doing. She looks so confident, but you know, she's had a little stumble here. I can relate to her. And it creates those dialogues and it helps you to slide into the DMs a little bit quicker.
I love that. And I always say like, if you're not showing up, you're making it about you and not about, you know, the other people. And honestly, even if I get like one comment on a post, I feel like I've done my job. Because even if you could touch one person, then that's one person that you wouldn't have not touched.
I love that you just said that because that was something that like last week I was having energetically a low vibe week and the US election was going on. There's a lot of consuming content. You know, it was just especially I had a lot of brands, a lot of US clients and a lot of US brands, and it affects us here in Canada, right? So energetically I was low and I was going through like the affirmations that I tell myself. And that was one of them. And it was like, show up for your ideal client, because that's one person that you could be helping that if you didn't show up, they would need you type thing. Right. So
I even like have that. It as my mantra. Obviously,
I love that.
Losses, but how can I love my audience today?
Oh, I love that. That's so good.
So this is probably a huge topic. So we'll just like minimize it to even just like one or two, but social media do's and don'ts.
Oh man, I could talk about this all day.
That's what I think. Even just like the top do and don't.
Okay. You want me to just tell you? I'll just tell you my 100 number one don't. So like I'm a big preacher, kind of as you said, on, you know, building that authentic emotional connection with someone, because that client is going to be my best friend, right? Like we're going to connect. I'm going to help you take your engagement, like your pain points that you're experiencing right now, our programs, right? As service providers, as we really want to take them to that ideal state. So I want to build that relationship. I want to know you. What are your pain points? What are your desires? What are your goals? Right. So for me, when I get those DMs, like the cold call, like, hey girl, here's my program. You know, I think it would serve you because in like it's generic pain points.
Yeah.
And it just feels to me like they didn't even take the time to go through my feed and see what my services are, what my values are, what, like, you know, or even look through my active stories or anything like that. So I just find like I compare it to if we're in a store and somebody comes up to us and they, you know, we walk into a store and the salesperson comes up to us and they say, oh, you know, when you go to the cashier, say my name because I'm only $300 away from my bonus, right? Like it turns you off. You're going to be like, no, thank you. So I just think like, if this is more aligned to like that building those relationships, don't cold call them. Do build a relationship with them. Do go through the Instagram funnel. And when I say funnel, I mean, look at their bio, read their bio, understand who they are, what they do, why, you know, why they're asking people to follow them, what makes them authentic. Then head to their next part of the funnel, which is their active stories. See what they're posting about. That's a chance. If they have polls, if they've posted something that relates to you, that's just a chance for you to respond to their stories, slide into their DMs a little bit easier, right? Search the conversation. If you go, they don't have active stories, go to their highlights. Maybe there's an opportunity for you to get to know them a bit more, and then go to their feed, right? And go through their comments, leave meaningful, engaging comments that, you know, maybe they're asking you a question. Maybe they're talking about their pain points. That's an opportunity for you to, once you get into the DMs, you know a little bit more about them, right? So you can tailor the conversation. And I'd say another thing is once you get into those DMs, just a tip for that is that keep the conversation. If you're a service provider, you want to, you know, you're looking to create clients, right? Realistically, keep the conversation focused on them. Ask them what their pain points are. Ask them, like, say, for example, you're a VA. If I was a VA and I'm reaching out to a social media manager, I'd ask them, like, you know, how are you getting your clients right now? You know, do you not have enough time to focus on building your business or getting new clients because you're working on the menial tasks? What are those tasks, right? So just keep the conversation flowing on them. And it'll just help show that you care, right? In a sense where you're not just selling.
I love that. So for someone's going to listen to that and, you know, they may be saying, well, I work a full-time job in addition to my business, or, you know, I have a family, I'm a mother, you know, everyone's played it.
Yeah.
And they're like, how can I possibly have time to like go through people's stories and bios and all and the funnel? What would be your best tip to just carve in some time a day and just get it done?
For me personally, what I do is I literally block time in my calendar. Like in my Google Calendar, I block out Instagram engagement time, and I will just take, honestly, if I'm hanging out on the couch with my partner and we're watching TV, or, you know, maybe we just finished cooking dinner and cleaning up and we're just hanging out, I take that time, 30 minutes, okay? 30 minutes. I'm not saying you need to spend your whole night, but take 30 minutes of downtime to go through and literally just start building those connections. It doesn't need to be 50 people. It can be 10 people. But if you have the right systems and strategies in place of where you've already mapped out who your ideal follower is, you know who they are, you know how they're interacting, how you're using the platform, where to search for them, you can just plug and play, right? So take that time to do the background work of knowing who they are, what they do, how they're using the platform, maybe what hashtags they're using. So much, there's so many opportunities, right? But know that background work so that when you do use that 30 minutes, you're using it wisely, because we know that if, you know, you're a business owner or you're, you know, taking all that time, right? That extra time is precious. So you need to optimize the time that you're spending in the platform.
I love that. So we kind of get hooked on the number of followers that somebody has, right? We just like look at the number of followers, and that's basically what we like kind of want to reach to. So why is it more important to have authentic relationships with your followers than the number of followers? So basically quality over quantity.
Yeah, this is like, I preach this honestly all day, every day. Like that's the thing. It's so funny because when clients come to me and we first start working together, like I always do, like the first step is mapping out, we call it like our KPIs or key performance indicators. So what we're measuring, like it's our goals, right? It's what we're measuring against. Number one goal is we want more followers. And I will always ask them why. Why? Like, why do you want the more followers and what is it? And usually it's like, oh, well, people are taking more seriously if they have higher numbers. I believe that we get so caught up on the numbers that is where we lose the client building, the relationship building, right? I have seen people that I connect with that are leaders in communities that I'm in, where they could have 5,000 followers, 10,000 followers. Ask them how many clients they have. Most likely it's 0 to 1 or 0 to 3, because they are spending so much time on just liking that they're not converting. So those followers are followers that aren't going to purchase, you're not going to sell them because they are just there at a convenience. So that's why it's so important to take the time to do the background strategy work of mapping out who your ideal follower is, who your ideal client is, how they're using the platform, how you can reach them, because then you know, based on who your ideal follower is, that they're actually going to convert into a client. If you're just looking to grow your follower base by engagement groups or in, you know, or just following everyone and then unfollowing them, that is like, you're just taking time away from yourself, right? Like,
so would you say to be able to convert your ideal followers to clients would be going through the funnel, I guess, would be the most practical way to do it, just to know their backstory and getting to know them, having those conversations?
Yeah, I would say that's definitely one way of outreaching. Another way, obviously, it's like, it's because we need to always take into consideration optimizing our profile. So like, once we know who our ideal followers and what their needs and their wants are and what they're looking for, we want to optimize our profile to ensure that when they come to us, because they say that there's only 3 seconds before somebody decides if they're going to follow you, right? So they go through that Instagram funnel I was just describing. So like the bio, then the active stories, the highlights, and the feed. But like, let's not think they're going to go all the way through the funnel, right? We get lazy, we get bored. We're like, your bio's not answering my question. I'll see you later. Somebody else will answer my question, right? So it's super important to answer those questions of who you are, what you do, why they should follow you, and what makes you authentic, because then you know, like, you're giving them no choice but to hit that follow button, because you know that you're creating this profile and this content that your ideal follower wants to see. I mean, there's so many other ways too that you can ensure, right? Like if you pull your followers on what content they want to see, and then you curate your content based on their wants or needs. And again, like we do create our programs and our services based on their needs, because we create our services based on that ideal client in mind. So it's just about ensuring that all of those different strategies are lining up, because if they're not lining up, then there's something off. And that's what I'm seeing a lot of the times with my one-on-one clients, is that it's not all flowing. And there's a reason for that, right? One of those little gears in the wheel is popped out and it's not going to run smoothly.
Okay, so you have mentioned engagement. Let's stay there for a second. So the 3 W's to increase your engagement.
Yeah, so I guess like it kind of goes back to, I think I've mentioned a couple of these, but it's like really important to know who your content is for, right? And who, where they are and what they're doing. But the who is really important, because you want to know who you're tailoring that content for. Who are you creating your business for? Who are you tailoring this messaging to, right? Because once you know the who, then that leads into the what, which is then you have that opportunity of, okay, so I've kind of went out, I found that follower that fits into my ideal follower, my ideal client. What do they want from me? What can I create from them, right? So that's where I talk about kind of the engagement aspect of it, where it's really important to kind of pull your audience and ask them what they're looking for, give them opportunities to engage with you through stories, and kind of just utilizing all of the functions. So polls, questions. They got rid of the DM box because I think with the election, but it should be back up soon. But just utilizing all of those engagement features, because then it feels like they're in control and they have a say, right? And then you're giving them the driver's seat. And then the when is really important too. And this all ties into insights. Like, it's really, really important for us to be checking our insights if we have a business account, because then we can see kind of, this kind of helps with aligning to make sure that we've reached our ideal client, because you can see like the age groups of who's following you, where they're from, kind of their demographics. So you can see if that's aligning with who your ideal follower is. But you can also see what times they're most active. So I use, like, it's really important to always be checking your insights, because it varies based on day of the week and time, so that you're making sure your content's out there at the time that's going to be on their eyes. But there's another tip too that not a lot of people know about, but if you swipe, like when you're, based on what your insights tell you, if you plan to post, you want to just double check that a lot of your audience is active. You can go like swipe across to the live button and it'll tell you how many active followers you have at that time. And that's another way to just validate your insights and validate that that's when you should be going live with your content.
So what would you say to the person that's going to listen to this and say, well, I'm doing that. I'm, you know, checking my insights. I'm putting polls in. I'm, you know, engaging. I'm on other people's posts and commenting, and they're just still not getting that engagement that they're looking for, their followers or the conversations.
I would tell you, and I know I'm like a little bit of a broken record, but go back to that ideal follower, because that tells me that you're not engaging with the right audience. Because if you, in your mind, like when we build our businesses, right, we build them based on an ideal follower that we want to serve, we want to help, we want to help them, right, educate them, and that's who we're serving. It's the same thing with social media, but when we build our Instagram platforms, we build that platform, we need to make sure that the content that we're creating and posting there is aligning with who we created that for, and that we're actually finding the right people and engaging with the right people. Because if you're creating that content that you know your ideal client is spending hours searching on Google for, they're scouring hashtags looking for that information, and it's not content that's converting, then it means you're not reaching the right people, so you might not be using the right hashtags. Hashtag strategy is a huge thing. It's a big bucket. It's really important to get deeper into hashtag strategy. And then, and again, if they're saying that they're doing all the work and they're putting in kind of that they're going through that Instagram checklist, but they're not seeing it, you need to revisit that ideal follower and who you're engaging with and who your following consists of.
In terms of hashtags, can you give like one tip for somebody that's like, you know, hashtag has become kind of like, not a joke, but like a catch phase almost, right? But people really don't understand the importance of them.
Yeah. So hashtags is just everything we're doing. We're wanting to extend our reach. We're wanting to increase our engagement. We're wanting to create awareness, right? That's what we're doing on social media. Hashtags are another way to increase your reach, increase your engagement, increase your awareness. So it's a tool that we can use. And honestly, it's not something you just throw a couple keywords up there and hope something sticks, right? Like I have for each of my clients and for myself, a huge Excel sheet where I go through the low density. I've mapped them out by density, right? Because you should have a little bit of a mix of density for hashtags. You should have some lower density, some medium density, and then some high density. So those high density ones are going to be like 5 millions, right? It's like hashtag love, hashtag family. So you want to make sure that you're not putting up these keywords where there's millions of other people using them and you're never going to get seen, because the goal is to get onto that explorer, that featured page, right? So having a mix of the low, having a mix of the medium, maybe you want to throw like 5 high in for some good luck, and then having that combo, and then also having some that are more tailored to your content, right? Because you're going to have your overall hashtags that you've done your research, you know that your ideal client is there following them, they're following the hashtags, they're using them, but it's always good to have some that are custom to your content. So if I'm talking about that day in engagement checklist, I'm going to do some custom ones to the engagement checklist, but I'm also going to use some that are more, you know, aligned to my ideal client in general and what they're looking up on a daily basis.
How does somebody get on the Explorer page? How does Instagram capture that? Is it just engagement that people have with the post?
Yeah, so it's engagement, but basically with hashtags, okay, Instagram is a platform that is an algorithm platform. We're always talking about cracking the algorithm. We're not going to crack the algorithm. Let's work with it. But basically, they like to put people in little boxes. So they're not going to throw you on the Explore page or on the feature page right away, right? You need to create the trust. You need to create the consistency and build up that trust with Instagram. So if you're consistent with the styles of hashtags, so say for example, you're a food influencer and you're constantly using food hashtags, and you're being like, obviously don't use the same ones because you're going to get put in hashtag jail or Instagram jail. But if you're doing some that are similar, right, you know, they're on a constant theme of food, then they're going to start to trust you. They're going to see that a lot of people are engaging in your content, that they're engaging with similar types of hashtags, and you're become that leader, right, in that area. And so then when they start to trust you, say, for example, that food blogger strays off the food path, but maybe they post something about mindset on their page and they use the same hashtags because their ideal client still engages in food content, but they're still tailoring their content to them. They'll trust you and put that on the featured page of that food hashtag. So it's about building the trust, building the consistency, and of course the engagement. So the more engagement you're building, the more people, like, you know, when you swipe up on your insights and you can see how many people have come to your post based on hashtags, when those numbers start to increase, your reach starts to increase, your engagement starts to increase, then, you know, your community is going to increase, and then the trust will increase.
If one asked this question, it just came to me, is it worth investing in ads and Instagram ads, like in sponsored Instagram posts? Would you say for somebody that's just starting out or even moderately has a platform?
Okay, I'm controversial on this one. I would say that And if the, like specifically for someone just starting out, I think it's super important to build an organic community off the bat of really getting a, doing that groundwork of identifying who your ideal follower is and going out and finding them and kind of, because that's how you build up your skill on the platform. That's how you build up your understanding. But then down the line, if you're promoting like say a free workbook or a free training, or you're promoting a new program, then I would definitely use like the media buy technique for that, because you're trying to increase your reach based on, and again, like the media buy, you can do so many different tailoring of your ad to that, like through, you know, interest, demographics and all that. But I think it's extremely important to build up and be in the platform and create those relationships off the bat and build the base of it. And then if you have something that's specific you're trying to promote, that you want to increase your awareness because it's going to lead to more sales, selling out your program and whatnot, I'm all for that.
So you have mentioned prior a daily Instagram checklist. Can you just give us a couple things on that checklist, especially for the person that's going to listen to this? More than likely, it's going to be a mompreneur that, you know, has their family and their business and, you know, may not have an obscene amount of time to spend on Instagram. So even if they were going to do like, let's say three things on Instagram a day, like what should those three things be?
Okay, so three things. Okay,
well,
so so again, I think it's super important to block off time for Instagram engagement in your calendar. Keep yourself accountable, because every day eventually you get down the line, maybe you want to hire a VA to help you, or maybe you have a team that helps manage this. But off the bat, you're an entrepreneur. You need to spend your time wisely in the platform. So make sure you're optimizing your time, I would say. So block that time off. Really important, don't leave anyone hanging. If anybody comments on your posts, don't post and ghost. Respond to them. Make sure your DMs are cleared out. Those are opportunities. Those are opportunities to build relationships, to get clients, right? So clear out your DMs. Make sure you go through your primary, your general, your message requests. Make sure you're not posting and ghosting, responding to everyone's comments. And then I would say, if you're in a position where you're trying to promote a new program, or you're trying to promote a new service, it's important to layer in the engagement. So at least engage with like five new accounts a day at that point. Go through like the top stories, and like go through people's stories, respond to them and respond to their polls, because that's, again, really important, because that helps you slide into the DMs. And I would say be active. I personally think it's always great to have an active story ring. So even if that doesn't mean you need to show your face every 2 seconds, it just means like, even if you repost content that you think your followers really, really enjoy or resonates with you, or you do show up on the story, or you're talking about something through like reposting your own in-feed posts, I think you should always have like an active ring.
Okay, so what about for the person that has built a substantial community, they have the engagement, they have the followers? What would be like even one tip for them on how to nurture this community?
Yeah, I think this is something that even people that get to a place where they have, you know, the 20,000 followers, 15, the 10, the 5, right? Those are like you're building a community. Those are engaged. We're seeing right now with like the nano influencers, which are kind of that 5K range-ish around there, like their followers are really engaged. They're building that close-knit community, right? So it's really important to not be only focusing on new followers, to nurture your own followers. I mean, there's definitely like, it's really important to go through your feed posts too and comment to people that you follow that are in your feed. But if it's somebody that, you know, doesn't have a lot of time, like usually my clients, when they get to that position, will look at hiring someone to do their community management for them, because it is really important to continue to nurture that. And there's definitely a lot of tips of things that you can do to prove to your audience of why they're so important to you. Giveaways, maybe even like, yeah, they can enter to win. Maybe you even just give away gift cards to people that are doing certain things, right? Like there's a lot of different ways to nurture it. But if you don't have the time, you're in a position where you've built up a big community and you're spending your time, you know, focusing on the Instagram strategy and focusing on the business strategy and really evolving your business, that's where I think you're at a position where you need to hire a social media manager. You need to invest, because your time is money at that point, right? And you don't want to waste time on, and not that it's wasting time engaging with your community, but that's something that you can pass off and you can trust with somebody else with, right?
I love that. So is there anything that you're getting a download for, anything that's resonating with you to share with us as we come to a close?
Well, I mean, the one thing that I would definitely say is that, and it's part of my why and why I wanted to become a coach and evolve from the social, like I still have my agency arm, but why I really wanted to help people out is because on that coaching side, a lot of the times I'm seeing a lot of blocks that arise with social media. People think they really, it's just like, okay, I'll go on here and I'll be here. But I think that in order for, and people get really discouraged, right? They do a couple posts and they're not seeing the engagement that they desire and they kind of quit it. But it is a platform and a vehicle that if used correctly, it can skyrocket you to the next level, right? We've seen what's possible and how people can build communities. They can really take their business from 0K months to 10K months. They can sell out their programs. They can do all that. But it's really important to have that energetic balance and to really consider, especially we talked about this a little bit, when you're in a social media world, to really be careful about your energy and make sure you're protecting it and identifying triggers and keeping the platform as a safe space because it can take your business to the next level. We just need to be careful of identifying what's in front of us from a mindset perspective and having that action plan in place in order to protect our energy.
How important is consistency before we end? I just wanted to ask this in terms of showing up.
I think consistency is very misinterpreted. When social media managers talk about being consistent, we talk about having consistent branding. We talk about having a consistent, posting times are important, but you don't have to post every single day. Just be consistent with what you're posting and when you're posting. Be consistent with your hashtag strategy. Be consistent with your story strategy, right? So consistency isn't just your what days you post it, or if you post every day, it's about encompassing all of that consistency of your branding, your messaging, your Instagram engagement strategy. So just being consistent for your audience as a whole.
So what can we expect from you the last couple months of 2020 going into 2021 at Friend Request? I should have mentioned you're the owner of Friend Request. I can't believe I didn't even mention that. So let us know where people can find you and what we can expect for you the next last few months of 2020 going into 2021.
Yeah, so my Instagram is @_friendrequest. So you can find me on Instagram. That's where I spent all of my time. Also, my website is www.friendrequest.co. But basically, like as I kind of mentioned, my passion is really helping women, small businesses, entrepreneurs, using Instagram as a vehicle to sell out their platforms, but also find that energetic balance between their masculine and feminine energy and introduce women to the power of tapping into their mindset and in their feminine energy. So I just launched a new one-on-one program, which is called Protect Your Energy in a Digital World, where we talk about all of the strategies and the systems to take your social media business to the next level, but to find that energetic balance with your feminine and masculine energy to really protect yourself on this platform and protect your mindset and really just take yourself to the next level. So yeah, that's what's working on the last couple months.
I love that. We've had this conversation so many times that is so important. And I think that's really what blocks people from social media is that they just don't know how to balance social media and real life.
Yeah, I think it's such an important message because I think a lot of social media managers talk about, and there's nothing wrong with this, a lot of social media coaches, they talk about the strategies and the systems and what to implement and do this and you'll go viral. But if you don't have the right mindset, if you're not putting out the energetic match, your followers will see right through it. And that is why it won't convert. And that's why, people are getting really discouraged. You need to kind of take a step back and reevaluate all the strategies and also evaluate that against your feminine mindset and your energetic and how you're showing up.
I love that. Thank you so much, Candace. You are so amazing. You have given everyone so much to think about and to reflect on. So thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. This has been amazing. And I'm so excited that I was able to get to be on your podcast.
I know. How cool is that?
I know, right? Talking to you any day is amazing. So I'll take it.
Oh, likewise. You're so sweet. Thank you everyone for listening. And remember to share this with a woman that is ready to rise. We will talk to you next time.